This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. My name's the V-Man, and on the phone with me is Henry Knorr. He's a 57-year-old technology writer, columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, who was recently suspended for 2 weeks without pay. And we're going to get to that issue right now. Henry Knorr, I want to ask you first, how long have you been employed at the San Francisco Chronicle?
I've been on staff, it'll be 4 years next month. Before that, I wrote regularly on a freelance basis for them for a couple of years.
And you've been writing technology columns and, for the most part, fairly innocuous subject matter. You've been opposed to this war in Iraq since the war talk started, correct?
Absolutely.
And can you give us a little bit of background on why you feel that the United States is making a wrong move in attacking, invading Iraq?
Well, I basically feel like Saddam Hussein is a bad guy, but the United States is in no position to go around deciding who's going to run other people's countries. And particularly, I feel that doing it by military means is outrageous. The death and destruction that it causes just doesn't justify the effort. And as we've already seen, these things tend to produce a wide swath of destruction that nobody can predict, that inflicted on innocent people, most of whom had nothing to do with what's wrong with Saddam Hussein. Mm-hmm.
And so you felt strong enough to put your body on the line, and you were arrested the day after the bombing started on Thursday, March 20th?
Yeah, that's correct. I've been to lots of marches ever since the war talk started. I've gone to every march that I've known about to make my views clear. I read dozens and dozens of letters to the Feinstein and Boxer and the local reps and Bush and Cheney and the rest.
Have you talked much about your opposition to the war around the office at the San Francisco Chronicle?
No, not particularly. I haven't hidden it, but I haven't. With my friends and so on, there are other people, some other Chronicle people who are at some of the marches, and I wouldn't describe my role self as having been, kind of a workplace organizer around the issue.
Right. And now on March 14th, I'm reading a story about your case. It says here that you applied for a month's leave of absence so that you could devote yourself to anti-war work. What was the response from your editors?
Well, my immediate editor was quite sympathetic, it certainly seemed to be, and said he understood, and he shared some of my feeling about things, and he would try to make it happen. But he didn't have the authority to do it by himself, and he had to get higher approval from higher up, and the thing was passed up to the higher ups, and then basically, I've never heard a word about it since then. I got no response from the higher-ups. Kind of indirectly back-channeled through somebody else, I was informed that they had concerns about it, quote-unquote concerns. But
who told you that?
Another editor who was in touch with them, but who wasn't directly involved in the decision-making process. Mm-hmm. But, nothing was said to me. I told them that from my point of view, it was pretty urgent. I asked to have it take effect immediately. I did promise them, another weekly column so it wouldn't cut things short. But, what was on my mind was that I wanted to, when the war broke out, that I was kind of sorry I didn't actually do this earlier, to be able to take part in the anti-war mobilization before things started. But once I got the idea, I really wanted to go with it, but no response. Well, one thing that request did do was that my editors decided that it wouldn't be appropriate for me to write about the war because I had such, even indirectly, for instance, there was an article that was proposed to write a little bit about the satellite telephone companies that provide long-distance phone service for people in Iraq, talk about how their business was booming because of the military and the journalists and so on. I said, frankly, I'm not inspired by this, but I'd be glad I'll do that. And I didn't feel like my anti-war position would affect in any way the way I talked to the, interviewed people on the phone or the way I wrote up the story. But they decided after I put in the request for leave that it wouldn't be appropriate. I don't think, there are people who are pro-war and their views have never been an issue in terms of writing about much more directly about the war than I. Anyway, but they decided I shouldn't do that. But then what happened last Wednesday evening when the ultimatum ran out and the bombing began, I knew about direct action against the war, and local umbrella group in San Francisco had planned civil disobedience, and there were a variety of groups that had plans to mostly informal ad hoc groups. I guess some more organized groups had plans to do peaceful civil disobedience at various locations. So when the bombing began, I sent email to my supervisors saying I'm expecting to get arrested tomorrow and won't be in to work till I get out of jail. I thought there was some chance it would only take a few hours, but I didn't know. In fact, what happened Thursday morning, I went with my wife, and actually my daughter, who's 25, joined us at a location in downtown San Francisco outside the British Consulate and the City Corps office building. You know, we peacefully blocked the street. There were, you know, neat lines of people across the intersection, and you know, when the police came and told us to leave, we didn't. We sat down, and, you know, they came, and we did the going limp thing. I have, having been involved in anti-war activity in the 60s and 70s, I have some experience with civil disobedience. So I went limp, and they dragged me off with a fair bit of difficulty because I'm pretty paunchy by now. You know, as it turned out, they kept us in jail. I didn't get out till about around 9:40 that night, that evening. I went into work the next day and sat down to finish that. Friday is the deadline day for my Monday column. I sat down to finish the column I had in the works, which was nothing to do with politics. It was about a new, you know, a new kind of web-based email service that, alternative to Hotmail and Yahoo Mail and that kind of thing that actually I thought was quite an excellent system and did a much better job of fighting spam than the others. So, you know, no politics really, total technology kind of thing. And I was, you know, worked on it all day. I was just finishing up. My space was short. My editor asked me to cut it a little bit below the usual length. So I was just trimming a couple of inches off it, and then around 4 o'clock I was informed that I could stop cutting because it wasn't going to run. My column would not appear this week. And I said, why? And they said, no explanation. but it was clear that it was because of my having been arrested. I mean, it was, you know, unofficially I was heard that from various sources.
Do you have a union?
Are
you
We do. Yes, the Media Guild of Northern California.
And were they notified of this action by the Chronicle?
I didn't go to them at that point. Actually, I had consulted with them before I asked to leave. Before I asked for the leave, I didn't go to them about the column being pulled at the last minute. I went in on Monday morning. I was informed that I went to work normally and so on. I was informed that I couldn't write anything.
What did they replace your column with?
Oh, I don't know, just this and that, other stories, right. Why are the usual mix of things. They put in a little box saying that I was on assignment. You know, Monday they told me I couldn't write anything. I just sat there twisting in the wind, as they said, as my friends said, you know, reading the newspaper, surfing the web, whatever. And then on Wednesday, they called me in and to a meeting with the Human Resources Department and and the managing editor, Robert Rosenthal, and they... Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped a step. Let me go back here for a minute. On Friday, at the end of the day, after I had finished with my column, it wasn't going to run, I filled out my time card. We have to, you know, fill in what hours we worked and so on. And for Thursday, the day I missed, I took a sick day. I have a backlog of sick days, and put down my hours as a sick day, and for explanation, I wrote sick. You know, I could have taken a vacation day or personal day or whatever kind of various categories, but I took a sick day partly because I knew that, you know, there had been a bit of an organized campaign encouraging people to call in sick that day, and I was feeling sick in a certain sense. As I explained to them later, I was heartsick that the war had begun. I was nauseated by the lies and the arrogance and the stupidity that led to this war, and deeply depressed at the thinking about the death and destruction that was sure to result, as we're seeing now. And so on. That time card was on Monday, went through my immediate supervisors, who had every opportunity to question it if they wanted, had said, you know, hey, look, you can't take this as a sick day. Take a vacation day or something. I would have changed it, but my supervisor signed off on the card and, was not a factor in my mind. There's no formal definition that I can find at the Chronicle of what constitutes a sick day. There's nothing in the union contract that defines what is a sickness. At most workplaces, it's an old tradition that people take sick days for a variety of personal purposes. Anyway, so on Wednesday, I had this meeting with HR and the managing editor, and they asked me to explain what happened, and I did, and they asked me why I had taken a sick day, and I explained to them the sense in which I was sick, and they said, you're suspended for falsifying your time card. And they didn't originally say for how long. My union representative, who was with me, pressed them, and they said, well, at least 2 weeks while we investigate. And I asked them, well, what is it you're going to investigate? I think all the facts are on the table here. She said, well, no, we need to look into it. We need to try to put some pieces together. So I'm not sure what they're actually doing, what they have in mind, whether they're doing anything or whether it's just a punitive thing, or whether it could well be that they plan to fire me. I don't know.
To your knowledge, have any other San Francisco Chronicle employees been fired, harassed, suspended for their anti-war sentiments?
Not to my knowledge. No. There are various people who've been there for longer than I have told me various stories about so-and-so who was basically harassed out of the job in past years for various reasons that, didn't get on, their bosses didn't like them or whatever. But no, I haven't heard of any case with a direct political involvement like this one.
One thing I just thought of, a lot of these protests that are organized by Direct Action Against the War, for example, they have actually targeted the San Francisco Chronicle as a place to demonstrate outside because of their coverage to the lead-up to the war.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Two things. What do you think about the protesting your employers, and what do you think of the coverage in the San Francisco Chronicle in the lead-up to the war, and now that the war has started?
I think it's great if people protest the coverage in the Chronicle. I think that people need to make their voices heard, and we're unfortunately in the, if we had a real pluralistic press with multiple voices, then, things would be different. We could, if we had papers with different political perspectives, people could just read the one that they wanted. Essentially, we have a monopoly press now, and there's only one paper, so it's natural that people who feel unrepresented by it, are going to be unhappy and want to change its coverage and its editorial tone and so on. And I'm all for it. My basic view of the world is people need to stick up for what they believe in, and I don't always agree with them, of course. Different people believe in different things, but I believe in people's right to make their voices heard. In this particular, in terms of the specifics on this issue, and the Chronicle is, roughly speaking, what most people would call a liberal paper. Sort of well within the American mainstream, but the editorial, the columns, the editorial page, and so on, tends to the liberal side. And the coverage, the pre-war coverage was, on the op-ed pages and so on, there were a lot of anti-war voices. There was a fair bit of coverage of the anti-war movement that was building very strongly in San Francisco over the last months. And the coverage of the substantive issues was, kind of typical American mainstream stuff. Noting that there was opposition in the UN and around the world, public opinion was critical, and a lot of people arguing that the inspectors could do the job and so on. From my point of view, it could have been much and should have been much stronger and more forceful in kind of laying out the nature of the situation, the fact that the team around Bush has been itching to have a war with Iraq since well before September 11th, the oil connection, the arms industry connections to the Bush administration, and so on. I would say the Chronicle's coverage on the whole, and this actually goes for the Palestine issue as well, in my opinion, is a little bit better than most of the American media, certainly better than network television, a little more balanced, a little more open to other perspectives. But like all the American media, it didn't give a very deep critique of what was going on in Washington.
All right. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm speaking on the telephone today with Henry Knorr. He is a technology columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle who was recently suspended for 2 weeks without pay for his participation in an anti-war demonstration on March 20th. He was arrested in the city of San Francisco along with 1,400 other people out in front of the British consulate and the offices of CityCorps, was it?
Yeah.
And
there were only 180 people at this particular location. 1,400 was around the city, and I think the total now...
The total is up to
2,300 or something like that. Yeah.
And I just have a couple quick questions and we can wrap up. You said earlier that you were involved or you've been employed with the Chronicle for about 4 years now. Are you aware of that they have a conflict of interest policy?
Oh, I'm very aware of it. There is there's an internal document that called the Conflict of Interest and Ethics Policy, which I consulted in advance. And many newspapers do have policies that forbid employees from engaging in political activity.
Can I read to you a brief part of this conflict of interest policy?
Absolutely.
And get your response?
Sure.
In the Chronicle, the San Francisco Chronicle's policy, it states under the heading Political Activities, and it states, the Chronicle does not forbid employees from engaging in political activities, but needs to prevent any appearance of any conflict of interest. Staff members who wish to become involved with any political cause or campaign should take care not to create the appearance of a conflict of interest. When there is a possible question, staff members should consult with the executive editor or his designee. This has been revised since this whole issue came out of your dismissal, or suspension, rather. What do you make of what I just read, and do you feel that you violated this policy?
No, I didn't violate the policy. The policy, as you said, you read the first sentence of it, says that Chronicle doesn't forbid people from engaging in political activity. I was engaging in political activity. So as far as the conflict of interest goes, I've challenged the management to define what is the kind of, if they believe, well, I mean, they, if anybody wants to say that I engage in a conflict of interest, you know, what is it? What interests are conflicting here? In fact, they didn't charge me with a conflict of interest, so I think they must agree with me that I didn't violate that policy. If they, presumably if they thought I'd violated the policy, they would have charged me with violating it, and that would have been, you know, put the real issue on the table by suspending me for this foolishness about the time card, for falsifying my time card for taking a sick day. They're, to my mind, they're in effect admitting that I didn't violate the ethics policy, because that would have been a much more serious thing. As to the conflict of interest, the only way you can stretch that, the only way you can define what I did, I mean, I don't, since I don't write about the war, I don't write about national politics, so on, you know, there's nothing, it's not as if I'm taking sides on that issue in print and having this outside involvement. I personally, I'm not sure for a columnist that would be such a terrible thing, actually. I have a kind of a different view of what the press should and what objectivity should mean, but that's another story. The fact is, in terms of the Chronicle policy, the only way you can get a conflict of interest out of this situation is if you say, anytime any Chronicle person publicly expresses an opinion about any issue other people in the Chronicle write about, or the editorial page takes a position on, that's a conflict of interest. You know, that's, I guess you could argue for that position, but it would then make the policy, as you read it, totally meaningless. Mm-hmm. Because what would it mean to say the Chronicle doesn't forbid people from engaging in political activity if you then say anytime you engage in activity that on any issue that the Chronicle, other people at the Chronicle have written about, it's a conflict of interest and you can't do it, then you've got a complete contradiction. So clearly the policy when it was written was not intended to bar people from political activity, from involvement in issues in which the Chronicle might have written something, and it was intended, you know, conflict of interest provision was intended to prevent people from, you know, kind of writing about products and things that companies and causes that they have some stake in, and they're secretly, you know, promoting without acknowledgement. I would add, by the way, here's an interesting tidbit. If you, you probably, it sounds like you saw the memo that senior management sent out last week, which includes excerpts from the full ethics and conflict of interest policy. In fact, they are, the excerpts that they sent out, if you were to compare the original document, they actually omitted three sentences right in the middle of that section on political activities, with no indication that there was a part that they omitted, no ellipsis, no triple dots or anything. And the three sentences they omitted concern the issue of spouses. They made note, those three sentences mentioned that the activities of one's spouse can create the appearance of conflict of interest. Our the editor of the Chronicle, Phil Bronstein, is married to Sharon Stone, the actress, who has on several occasions taken public political positions and endorsed candidates, gone to $10,000 a plate political dinners, and so on. Our number three person in the editorial hierarchy, who also signed that memo that was sent out last week, is married to a well-known columnist who takes very strong, outspoken positions about political issues. And I happen to agree with a lot of what he writes. It's Robert Scheer. I happen to agree with a lot of what he writes, but if you want to... I couldn't help but chuckle at the fact that they carefully left those sentences out, because if we're going to get into this issue of you know, expressing political opinion and creating a conflict of interest, then they've got some problems of their own. So, but I don't. I stand by the position that I did not violate that policy. And again, I point out that if I had violated that policy, that they didn't charge me with violating their that policy, which I take as a agreement with me that I didn't violate it.
We're speaking with Henry Knorr, suspended Chronicle columnist in the technology section of that newspaper, and he has been suspended officially for falsifying his time records, but unofficially for being arrested in an anti-war demonstration. Henry, last question for you. What can we as listeners to this station and just people that are concerned about your suspension do at this point? If you're requesting any action, should people call the editors at the Chronicle, send email?
Well, I'm not, you know, I'm not asking people to do anything. I actually, you know, I think the more important thing for people to do is to devote any time and energy they can muster to opposing the war. You know, that's really the important thing here. If people do want to send letters, they can email, let me see, get the address. I believe it's just letters at sfchronicle.com. And the editor is Phil Bronstein, and he's at pbronstein@sfchronicle.com.
One other quick question. This story kind of has caught on a little bit via the Internet. That's how I first heard about it. And I do believe that Reuters did a story on this that went national. Has the Chronicle printed anything about your suspension?
No, the Chronicle hasn't. The Merck picked it up right away. The Merck had a story on Friday, which was quite a fair story, in my opinion, quite accurate. The Reuters picked it up, and now I take it from my email that it's been, I got something from New Zealand, here and there, all over the Boston Globe had a separate story of their own today. So it's definitely getting around. I mean, aside from my case, it does raise some issues about kind of the philosophy of journalism. What are the roles and rights of journalists? It's a whole long separate discussion. You know, even journalists who whose beats perhaps are more closely related, you know, should they be allowed and encouraged to take a position or not of their own? Again, as I said, it's a big discussion. We probably don't want to get into it here, but it's something people are starting to, I think, my case and and the whole situation now have brought to the fore. Certainly within the community of journalists, people are talking about it.
All right, and I've been speaking with Henry Knorr, joining us from the East Bay today. He's a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, on suspension currently. Two last thoughts. Any contingency plans in the event that the suspension becomes permanent?
Contingency, sure. I mean, I'm thinking about my future, but for now, what I, you know, what I did on Friday is went and volunteered at United for Peace and Justice, one of the local national anti-war coalitions, and I'm planning to go back on Monday morning and use my time constructively. If I get fired, you know, certainly the union has filed a grievance and they're taking up the case, and I'm consulting with some lawyers, and we'll see. I feel that I'm in a very strong position because the only thing they charged me with is such a, you know, patently foolish technicality, and I've never heard of anybody being suspended for claiming to be sick when they're not sick by a non-existent definition. So I feel like, you know, legally and contractually, I'm in a very strong position. But we'll see if they really want to make a, you know, want to, for political reasons, want to try to demonstrate that the Chronicle is not a bunch of radicals. I mean, it certainly isn't. But if they feel like they can kind of make a play to the right wing by sacrificing me, well, then we'll see them in court if it comes to that.
All right. We've been speaking with Henry Knorr. Any final thoughts today, Henry?
No, I would just encourage everybody. I don't know. I know a little bit about Santa Cruz traditions, and I hope people aren't losing heart and being discouraged. Because you know, I lived through the Vietnam movement, took an active part in that, and God knows that dragged on for years and got pretty discouraging. But we in the movement kept at it, kept trying to organize, kept trying to turn out in the streets and bring other people out, spread the word, educate ourselves and other people, and I think almost everybody agrees that it made a little bit of difference. So eventually it helped bring the war to a conclusion, perhaps sooner than it would have happened otherwise, and saved a few lives at least. So I think we're in the same kind of situation. Probably won't drag on for years, but who knows? And it's up to people of conscience to rise to the occasion and stand up for what's right.
On that note, we'll end it there. Thanks for joining me today, Henry.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Good luck in the future.
Take care. Bye.